So I've been meaning to go to this place. It's called the Museum of the Moving Image out in Astoria, Queens. And it's basically like a museum about TV shows and movies and shit, as far as I can tell. I was going to go yesterday, and I got all set. And, of course, going to do a podcast, because why not? Multitask. And it turns out it was raining. That's horse shit. And I was using the fancy pants recorder, so I didn't want to get it wet. So I stayed home. So today I was like, all right, time to go. Let's go to the museum. Today, it's motherfucking snowing. It's not snowing very hard, though. There's no snow on the ground, and it's just kind of, I don't know, swirling all about in a snow globe-like manner. But luckily, my battery charger showed up for my camera. So I'm using the $70, $80, whatever it was, camera instead of the $300 fancy pants recorder. So I don't give a fuck if it gets snowy. Fuck you, camera. That's why I bought you. I bought you to be ruined. I bought you so I could go out in whatever fucking dumb weather and roll down hills and fall off cliffs and get fucking kidney punched. And the camera will be in the way to absorb the blow. That's what you're here for. You're here to die. Somehow my other camera lasted 3 years. You're not gonna last 3 years, bitch. I'm gonna fucking destroy you. I remember one night at Keith and Hemda's, when Keith first got this, like, little pellet gun. We got them out in, got all these dumb guns out at this electronic show in Jersey. And, I remember he shot Spooky with this thing. It leaves, like, welts. It's fucking hardcore. So, I think it was me, Keith, the Relic, and Matt Bray. And we were trying to shoot my camera, seeing if we could hit it in the lens and crack the lens, because it would have looked awesome on video. But the thing does not have a very good aim. So that didn't happen. Anyway, it died of natural causes, but I got this new camera now. It's already getting wet. Oh, look at that. You got snow on you. You fucking piece of shit. See, I really do love it, even though I'm being abusive to this camera. I don't know. Like, if I like books, I don't try to be careful with them. I break spines and toss them across rooms and what have you. That's the kind of thing I find most fun, not having to be careful with things. So this is a bit of a ramble I'm on here. The only problem with this dumb camera is it didn't come with a little watch battery inside that keeps track of all your settings. So it's always set on 12-bit sound instead of 16-bit, where you get four tracks instead of two. But that's totally fucking stupid. That is such a rare thing that anyone would ever want to use that. It's fucking dumb. That should not be the default setting. So I gotta go in and fucking fuck with the dumb menu every time I turn it on. But I'll get a battery. Like, soon. I was gonna go get a bagel for breakfast. Just a little breakfast bagel. But you know what? Fuck it. I'm gonna make a whole day of this. I'm gonna go to, like, the fancy restaurant down the street here. And gonna have a nice little sit-down breakfast. Get all the fixings. And I'm gonna hop on the bus, then the train, then the other train. Go to that fucking museum. So while I eat some breakfast, let's listen to a song by a band called Pepper. I can't remember what brought this band back into my head, but I thought they were from Australia, but it turns out they're from Hawaii. And I don't know their shit very well, but back on the Warped Tour sampler 2004 that I bought when I first moved to Vancouver, they had a song on there that I liked. I thought that they're basically a Sublime ripoff band, but the more I learn about stuff, it's really just that Sublime was a sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? Not exactly, you know, it's just basic sort of ska, dub, reggae, all that kind of shit. A little bit of punk thrown in. You know, I don't know, the Sublime was just kind of a coalition, a convergence of different influences. And this band is the same. So I don't know that they're necessarily ripping off Sublime. Anyway, it sounds a lot like Sublime, but this is a cool song. It's called Back Home, which I think is cool because it both reminds me of Vancouver, because that's where I heard this song, but also I'm heading back home very soon, 3 weeks or something. So here's some Pepper on Ham Radio, snowy morning. Stop, regards my elementary.
paragraphs in this letter, explaining what I remember. House parties, green bottles, and my friends. Why does every simple thing seem to complicate me? Running back and forth so I can be back home, 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 back home.
Nice, the camera remembered my settings this time. Maybe last time my main battery just didn't have enough juice. I kind of like this technique. I've used this before. I just got the camera sitting on the table. And I can just talk to myself real quiet and record stuff, even though I'm at a busy cafe and there's people all over the place. It doesn't seem too weird. I'm surprised how busy it is here. There's tons of people. Mostly old white people that I didn't know even lived in this neighborhood. This must be their hangout. So I'm drinking coffee out of a nice little porcelain cup. And I love coffee out of these cups. You only really get it at diners, and it just makes coffee seem better. And what this kind of reminds me of is, remember there's this place in Vancouver that I used to like and I went to a lot. For a while, my friend Manu was staying with me because basically he ran into, he was living with these three girls. He's from South Korea and had some problems with them, and they basically kicked him out. And I don't know, I knew Manu pretty well. He's a good guy. Kept in touch with him here and there after he moved back. I'm gonna say that the girls were probably at fault. Without fully knowing the situation, I'm on Manu's side. So up in the projection booth, we had all these weird little nooks and crannies and special secret hidden rooms you could get in if you had an Allen key. Well, you can see some of it if you go on my YouTube page. Look for Projectionist versus Velociraptor. I was pretty proud of that video. That's that was the projection booth. I took it on a little tour of places you can go, potentially hide from dinosaurs. So Manu took all his shit and... he only had a couple of weeks left till he was going back home, so he hid all of his stuff in one of those little rooms. And then I let him stay at my place. My place was really small at the time, but it was really nice. But yeah, it was fun. Actually, I remember Loggeria 10. I recorded on Manu's laptop after I got bear sprayed and my laptop got stolen. And it's the one with all the weird Korean praise music and stuff that somehow got imprinted onto the file. I still don't know how that happened. Kind of fucked it up. But yeah, that was with Manu's computer. Anyway, Manu was obsessed with Back to the Future. Not obsessed, but he really liked it. Which, I mean, who would? That's fucking fantastic. I remember we watched Back to the Future 1. He bought, like, the three together in a big set. And it holds up fucking well, man. It's a good movie, that first one. So I remember we went to this diner by my house, and it was, like, mildly 50s-ish. As kind of diners always sort of are, but this one a little more in particular. Oh Christ, coffee is so good. How was there a time when I didn't like coffee? It seems so weird. And yeah, that was what Manu most thought of when he's in the diner. He's like, dude, this is like Back to the Future. And, well, I learned this through a lot of different people I knew in Vancouver, but this reinforced it a little. That Asians really are very racist against other Asians. For instance, Manu from South Korea did not care at all for the Chinese. We were at this other less nice diner on Kingsway when there was this Chinese people sitting behind us. They were talking real loud, and Manu eventually just kind of turned and like snapped at them, like, "Will you be quiet? Will you shut up?" So I asked him, I was like, "Hey, was that really just because they were talking loud, or is it because they're Chinese?" And he was like, "A little of both." Or Sunny, who I knew from Korea. She was super nice, and she was a really cool girl. She she was surprised that she got along so well with her friend Kazu from Japan, because apparently Koreans just don't care for Japanese, largely because there was a lot of shit that went down during various wars, bullshit stuff Japan did, a lot of occupational horseshit. And then this is so stupid. Japan rewrote a bunch of their history books so that they don't include these, you know, wartime atrocities and stuff, because they're afraid it will, you know, take down the morale of the country. It'll make Japanese people less proud to be Japanese, even though it was previous generations that had nothing to do with who's there now. It's just that fucking collectivist mentality they got there. So yeah, Sonny was like, wow, so weird. Like, I got all these Japanese friends now that I moved here. And, you know, we were all like, well, yeah, of course. I mean, it's just you and Kazu, you know? You're cool. Kazu's cool. Why the fuck wouldn't you get along? But to her, it was like this amazing revelation.
Sudden time warp. I just finished eating breakfast. Now I got a toothpick in my mouth for increased shittiness of this podcast. Increased inability to pronounce words. So the chick who was my server. And so I get the check, and I was like, so I pay at the front? And she's like, yes, there is the two ladies. One is pretty, and one is ugly. And she wasn't kidding. I mean, to be fair, one of them was a very old lady. The other one wasn't. But that's very weird. All right, I'm going to play. I'm gonna take a risk here, take a chance. I'm gonna play a slow, somber song where I don't want to promote a somber mood. But this song is just like fucking wicked good. This is an Elliott Smith song called Twilight. And this dude, man, I don't even know what to say about some of his songs. They're just fucking silly beautiful. Just like you look up beautiful song in the Keith McNally dictionary, this song would be there. This would be listed, absolutely. So here's a song for the people who are very pretty and the people who are ugly. Very, very ugly. Working at the diner.
Haven't loved this hard in a long time. I better stop now before I start crying. Go off to sleep in the sunshine. I don't want to see the day when it's dying. She's a sight to see,
sight to see.
She's a good to me,
good to me.
I'm already somebody's baby. She's a pretty thing. She knows everything,
everything.
I'm already somebody's baby. You don't deserve to be lonely, but those drugs you got won't make you feel better. Pretty soon you'll find it's the only little part of your life you're keeping together. I'm a nice to you,
nice to you.
I could make it through,
make it through.
But you're already somebody's baby. I could make you smile,
make you smile.
If you stayed a while,
stay.
Baby, even if I think that you're alright. Well, I'm tired of being down, I got no fight. You're wonderful, and it's beautiful. Somebody's baby, and if I went with you, I'd disappoint you too. Well, I'm already somebody's baby, already somebody's baby.
Oh, that's weird. A guy just walked by with a little American flag patch on his coat. And it's not like I haven't seen a lot of fucking American flags, but man, I don't know. Something about that one in particular just suddenly brought me back to, like, I don't know, being in Greyhound stations. And something about it just made me feel weirdly uncomfortable. Not in any kind of ideological sense, like, oh, the danger of America, blah, blah, blah. Just that I ain't home. I've been away from home for a long fucking time. And that's how it's always been, is little trips, little bus trips, little adventures. Leave Canada for a week, come on back home. It's been like almost a year and a half. That is fucked. What was I thinking, man? This is weird. Weird. I'm gonna play an Eminem song. I remember when Eminem first came out, My Name Is. I mean, that was a fucking, it was a novelty jingle, you know? Like, that was a one-hit wonder if there ever should have been one. It's fucking shocking that it wasn't. And it's always hard when someone is that popular and that overexposed, you know? It's just, it's hard to get into them. It's just like, eh, it's everywhere. It's too much. And I don't know, I always had kind of a love-hate thing with him. First, I didn't like him. Then I started to get to like him, you know, or appreciate what he does, the second album especially. And then he just started kind of seeming like a little bitch again. Where's my snare? There is no snare in my headphones. So at the end of the day, I don't know. I don't know what the fuck I think about Eminem. Who gives a fuck? But as far as rap music in general goes, I kind of like 80s hip-hop in theory. I like how on beat it is, how technical, the science. Those guys just like fucking walking down the street in Queens and I'm on the beat, you know, like fucking exact. And then the 90s, man, I don't know, people that, well, people say is good rap music, man, it doesn't sound good to me. Seemed like these dudes really just got sloppy, and then all of a sudden everything is like, most we the king and the king of men. It's just like, you're all over the place here. I can't get into this. It's just, are you even listening to the beat? You know, you're just fucking rambling. But Eminem really does pull off some cool stuff. I think it was Chris Rock had the joke about how fucked up it is that the best golfer in the world is black and the best rapper in the world is white. But like this song, it's called Stimulate. I'm not quite sure where it's from. I don't think it was on one of his major albums. But this is a good example of how he just kind of slides around and says things in a weird way, and his cadence gets strange, and he sort of switches things up. Not too much, because it's all still on the beat, but it's almost like it tricks you. It's almost like an audio illusion that he's like kind of stumbling. It's like drunken. Yeah, it's like drunken kung fu style. It's like he's stumbling around, but everything still fits. Anyway, it's kind of a neat song.
I love my job. Makes me feel like Superman. Can you fly? I can. Wanna see?
I'm only entertaining you, my. Go to stimulate, making you high, and take you and I to a place you can't.
progress, food for thought, see how long it takes to digest. Feeling good when I should be ashamed. Said I really should have found what I stood. See, I came like a flame in the night, like a ghost in the dark. There's a ray, there's a light, there's a hope, there's a spark. But when planets collide, they'll never see eye to eye until they decide to set the differences aside. And this is why only one of us will survive. So children, follow my lead and feel the vibe, because I am only entertaining you. My goal is to stimulate, making you high, and take you and I to a place that you can't see, but I believe you can fly. I don't mean nobody harm, I'm just partying. I'm not your dad, not your mom, not your guardian, just the man who's on the mic. So let me entertain you. My music can be slightly amusing. You shouldn't take lyrics so serious, it might be confusing. Just trying to separate the truth from entertainment. It's stupid, ain't it? I get sick of trying to explain it. See, I could sit and argue with you, but it goes beyond just being a snot, pointy nose, least blonde. Cause I came here to uplift, let your woes be gone. Tell them to get fucked and just mosey on. Constantly moving, constantly using the Constitution as a form of restitution. Bless the children, nothing less than brilliant. Let me entertain you like Robbie Williams. I'll be here when y'all are gone, rebuilding. World evolving, still evolving, still slim. How many kids will copy? Probably millions. But I'ma do this as a fucking hobby till then. Cause
I am only entertaining you. My goal is to stimulate, making you high, and take you and I to a place that you can't see, but I believe you can fly. I don't mean nobody harm, I'm just partying. I'm not your dad, not your mom, not your guardian, just the man who's on the mic. So let me entertain you.
Lyrical content contains subject matter that sucks up all these fucked up young kids at an alarming rate. Come and denominate, add it up, and you see this why I dominate. I try to stimulate, but kids emulate and mimic every move you make. Slim, you great, but wait, can't you see I'm only here to entertain? I gotta be the one to go against the grain. Cause man, I see it, feel it, live it, but it's inhumane for me to see you be influenced and pretend you ain't. But they don't understand that I've been through pain. If you get to know me, I could be a friend you gain. But you can't just stand there and try to judge. It hurts, but your jealousy probably tears you up inside as much. And it's such a pleasure every button that I touch. I treasure every glutton that I punish in my lust. But
I am only entertaining you. My goal is to stimulate, making you high, and take you and I to a place that you can't see, but I believe you can fly. I don't mean nobody harm, I'm just partying. I'm not your dad, not your mom, not your guardian, just the man who's on the mic. So let me entertain you.
This feels good to have my camera back. Just turn on the camera, press record. The other recorder I had is like fancy, so it's way more complicated. It's nice. However, let me take this opportunity to complain. I'm sure I brought this up before, but I live across the street from an elementary school, and I just can't fucking get over how often it's like a fairly narrow one-way street. So there'll be kids crossing the crosswalk with the little crossing guard lady, or people stopped to pick up their kids. And I just can't believe how often I hear people fucking honk. Because, you know, they're stuck behind a car that is picking up kids. It's just fucking incredible to me. Where else in the fucking civilized world would people have their heads so far up their fucking asses that they would honk for a fucking school crossing? The goddamn kids aren't gonna cross the street any faster. Their fucking parents aren't gonna take their kids by the ankles and swing them into the car. It's their fucking kids. They're gonna be careful about that shit. It's gonna take 20 seconds. I can't fathom it. Nowhere else would people be such fucking idiot assholes. Nowhere. Now, keep in mind I said the civilized world. Crazy Middle Eastern countries and shit don't count in my books. This is fucking North America, for Christ's sake. We should be a little more enlightened than this. About school crosswalks, obviously. Not about our opinions on Middle Eastern countries. This is a song that has been sitting in my ham radio folder for, like, forever. For, like, 2 years. But don't take that to mean that it's not a good song. It's a very good song. That's why I haven't deleted it. Because it's like, I'm going to play this someday. This seems like a good time. I'm going to play this song right now. This is a song by Oasis called Gas Panic. Cause my friends don't seem so familiar, and my enemies all know my name. Yeah. I don't know. Look into the psychology of that. Sure, that makes sense somewhere deep in my brain. Just feels like the right thing to play right now.
What's on?
I just had to plow my way through a big gaggle of super short old Asian ladies, and it makes me wonder. I wonder how many old Asian ladies I could kill with my bare hands. More than none, I'll tell you that.
Step in, please stay clear to close your doors. Step in. There's no express, no local service. 90 at this bank. Step in, please.
Did you hear that weird sound that the subway made when the door closes? That's weird. I never heard that one before. So I just saw on going on the 7 train across this expressway that it crosses, this truck like fucking on fire. Big billows of dark black smoke coming out. It's kind of fucked up. So the bathroom at Roosevelt Station is actually open, thank God, because the one at Main Street was not, and I had to piss like fucking crazy. But of course it's a totally disgusting fucking piss on the floor, everything just a mess, just like fucking nightmare bathroom. And what I don't understand is there's a doorknob on the bathroom. Why in Christ would there be a doorknob on a bathroom that disgusting, you know? If it's just a door, you should just be able to push it open with your fucking foot, man. I had no choice but to touch that goddamn doorknob. I feel like my hand is fucking radioactive now. And of course, no bathroom, no sink. Even if there was a sink, the sink's inside. Not gonna help me. What's that? Fucking disgusting. This place is fucking horrifying. These subway stations, I mean, they're not quite this bad, but I remember my first impression of them when I first visited New York, like 3 years ago, was in 7. The first guy that gets killed, the gluttony guy, the super fat guy, they force him to eat soup until his belly's distended and then kick him in the gut so it ruptures his stomach open. His disgusting fucking house is what these subways remind me of. Ugh. Ugh. Alright, this is a song I heard years and years and years ago. This is that band NXS that had a little comeback a couple of years ago, but their original singer, Michael Hutchence, he died by, as far as they can tell, putting a belt around his neck so that he could masturbate while cutting off his own air supply by himself in a hotel room with no one else to look after him. And he passed out, of course, because that's the point of it, is that you cut off blood circulation to your brain and it heightens the sensation. But you pass out and then you die. I mean, that's what it does. It's so fucking stupid. I am supremely uncomfortable with choking games. That is something I cannot be a part of. And I have been asked, but it's like, what, are you crazy? You want me to make it so you can't breathe, just so you have a slightly different feeling, orgasm or something? It's fucking nuts, man. That's, you could die. You could die. Just amazes me that the lack of value people have for their own lives, the amount of risk they're willing to put themselves through. Not coincidentally, people that are into choking games and bullshit tend to be into drugs also. Just convince themselves, oh, it's okay, nothing's gonna happen. And then deep down in their subconscious, it's like, oh, well, even if something does happen, who cares? I don't really care about myself. I don't really care about my life. You ever heard these people tell you, like, my cousin Dan was always like this, like, I don't expect to live past, I don't know, 25, 30. Why the fuck not? What is the fucking matter with your brain? Fuck you. No time for that stupid horseshit. Go see a therapist, motherfucker. Or at least just stop trying to pretend it's okay. Stop trying to pretend that your crazy suicidal fucking impulses, bad decisions in life are all right. They're not. You're fucked in the brain. Anyway, I was driving around with my dad years and years and years ago. And he always just listens to different random miscellaneous stuff. He'll listen to an album like once or twice and never listen to it again. Toss it in his collection. So it was all kinds of random stuff coming out of his stereo. So we were driving around and this song came on. And I was like, holy fuck, man, that song is really good. Like, I like that a lot. What the hell is that? The song right after it immediately sucked balls. And it turns out it was NXS. And as far as I can tell, this is the least NXS-like NXS song. It's like sort of
in like touching on industrial a little bit. Sort of got the heavier sort of vibe, lots of loops. I don't know, just reminds me a little bit of like a soft Nine Inch Nails. And it's a really good song. It's called The Gift. And yeah, I borrowed this album from my dad. I didn't like anything else on it, but this song has stuck with me for years. I don't even know what year this album came out, but this keeps popping back into my playlist for a long, long time. It's a really good song. So this is The Gift by INXS with the now dead singer Michael Hutchence, who's the fucking retard, couldn't just enjoy life on a normal level. He had to push everything a little too far, didn't you, Mikey? Didn't you, you dumb dead fuck? So long, good riddance, stupid shit. I am intolerant. I'm sure that little Michael Hutchence rant seemed weirdly out of place. Man, I am done. I have learned that tolerance really doesn't work for me. See, this girl I was dating in Vancouver,
I really think I was too hard on her. She had this kind of past of drugs and shit, but she really was past it, and she really did know it was a mistake, and she was already on the straight and narrow. She didn't need me. I definitely got on her ass too much, you know, trying to help, quote unquote, but a lot of it was really just that I was sort of freaked out and worried and overcompensating. And it certainly didn't make things better for either of us. It's just kind of a big pain in the ass. So this time I tried not to repeat that mistake. With Ian, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to live and let live, you know? Fuck it. Maybe I don't have all the answers. Maybe I don't know how everything works. Why do people just walk along this fucking subway? I'm trying to get away from people. This fucking bitch is just walking. Let's just walk to the other end of the subway for no fucking reason. There, she passed me. Anyway, I went too far the other way with Ian, where same basic situation, past of substance abuse and, you know, what would you call it, destructive behavior. But Ian was very unrepentant, was all, hey, it was a valid thing to do, and it was my life, and your girlfriend's always gonna have been a drug user, and it's not gonna change, you're gonna have to accept it. So I was like, yeah, okay, fine, cool, man. You don't do that shit now? That's fine. That is no problem. But it was a problem, because people don't fall into that kind of lifestyle by accident or for no reason. Or, you know, the fucking most together. Fuck. I realize I shouldn't complain. I am recording in a subway. I can't really complain. The trains keep going by. My man, trains keep going by. Probably won't sound as bad when I edit this back, because when a train goes by, I just find a stop talking for a minute. Yeah, you don't see the most self-assured, together, top-of-the-fucking-heap businessman, you know, lots of responsibilities, made something of himself type fella doing crystal meth. You just don't. But the point is, people of the world, if you're doing hard drugs, your life is fucked up, all right? You're having problems. Things are not going swimmingly. Everything is not going well. It is not. Do you understand? You need to look into this. And don't fucking tell me that it's okay. That it was always okay. That it was just fucking around. That it was just a fun around time. Because it wasn't. It was not. Because your head was fucked up, and your head is still fucked up, and all that did was make your head more fucked up. You didn't do acid and then suddenly fucking understand everything about your life that was wrong and become a stronger person. Fuck yourself. That's fucking stupid. And you didn't just do that, did you? You did everything. Of course you did. You're looking for a way out.
The next 71st Avenue bound train is approaching 36th Avenue.
You were looking for a way to ease your pains. Now, hopefully I will become a good enough person at some point in my life that I can help people in a more positive way. You know, people never became good by being told that they're bad. But I'm done with fucking, I'm not buying your bullshit anymore, world. People of the world. I'm not going to pretend that your fucking shitty fucking stupid choices that fucked shit up were equally valid. That they ran parallel to my choices in life, for instance. And we're just different. Oh, they're just different. Just different choices. No, fucked up choices. Fucked up. You fucked up. Your life was fucked up. Just fucking admit it. So, yeah. No more of that for me. Maybe this just means no more former drug addict girlfriends. That'd be a shame. How will I ever fucking get by? Let's play another adolescent song. This one is the band that did Kids of the Black Hole that I like so much. This song isn't as good as Kids of the Black Hole, but it's still pretty fucking good. Seems like my favorite adolescent songs are always the ones that are least representative of them. This one's called Things Start Moving. Man, it is 1:22. 1:22 p.m. I woke up at 8:30 in the morning. The fucking museum closes at 3 o'clock. This is fucking stupid. I'm not even gonna make it in time. Like, by the time I get there, like, what the fuck? Fucking stupid New York. Fuck you. too fucking big, too fucking shitty. Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. Fuck. Subway, it's getting myself all worked up. The double whammy of, I don't know, drugs in general. That subject always makes me fucking touchy and ornery. And then suddenly realizing that it's like literally too late to go to a goddamn stupid fucking museum. God damn it. Ugh. A little frustrating. See, what happened too is I went the wrong way. I was on the R line. I never take the R. So I got confused and went the wrong way. So I got off the train to hop over to the other side, but it's one of those stations where you can't get from one side to the other without leaving the station and then swiping your card again. And I used to get the monthly passes when I was dating Ian because I went out a lot, you know, traveled all the time. It was worth it. But now I don't, so it's $2 a swipe, and it's like, God damn it, I don't want to blow two whole dollars, so I was waiting for the train to take me another stop, and then who knows, maybe that stop would be set up the same way. Just like, man, fuck this, fuck everything, who cares? So I got out of there, and at least I'm outside now. Outside, Canadian version. I'm out in a boat. And I got myself another coffee. Maybe that'll cheer me up, or maybe that'll freak me out worse. Who knows? Just walked past some dude with his kid. He looked at me weird. Yeah, but my basic go-to, my basic justification for why I'm such a fucking hard-on about drugs is my brother is a junkie. Super bad. You know, long story short, he fucking ruined my whole family. He is a fucking terrible, awful piece of shit. And he was kind of messed up anyway. He definitely had some schizophrenia issues. But being all fucked up all the time certainly doesn't help. I'm done with you shithead drug users telling me it's okay. Fuck you. Fuck you all. Alright, I said I was gonna fucking calm myself down. That's not calming. Let me find a calming song I can play. Reminds me, Vancouver had a huge meth problem. Tons of meth heads. And at the coffee shop I worked at, I had to deal with those fucks all the time. Heroin addicts, too. Because in some ways, I think coffee is the true gateway drug. And nobody gives it up. Nobody moves on from coffee. Coffee piles on nicely with whatever else you're doing. Especially the super ridiculous coffees, like the big 24-ounce, like, frozen things that have, like, tons of caffeine and chocolate and ice cream and sugar in them. Man, druggies love that shit. They love it. So I had to deal with plenty of meth heads. I'm familiar with them. I can identify them fairly readily. And I remember seeing a Japanese businessman-looking guy on the subway once in Vancouver, on the subway platform. And he was definitely, if I had to guess, I'd say it was a meth fucked. It wasn't a booze fucked. You can tell, it's different. And he's like wearing his little business suit and stuff, and I just thought it was so weird. Like, obviously that's unusual. But it's not hard to fall into drugs, man. Anybody can. Any fucking walk of life, theoretically. Even most of my friends back home have, like, weird stories of, hey, here's my acid trip story, and everybody just kind of kept that shit away from me, and I appreciated it. I mean, I think it was largely because they sort of thought I was a pussy. You know, hey, Keith's fun enough to hang out with, but we know he's not fucking brisk enough of constitution or willing enough to have fun to follow us down this fucking path, so let's just leave him out of it. And that was fine with me. I am glad that they did. The Japanese businessman guy, though, that reminds me of, there's a character from the William Gibson, the Bridge trilogy, who, he's this Japanese businessman who got laid off and kind of lost his mind. So even though he's homeless now, he still dresses in his suit, but he smells terrible. Like, he looks impeccable, but he smells awful because he never changes his clothes and he doesn't have a house. And if you look really close, you'll notice that he's not actually wearing socks. He just painted his ankles black so it would look like he's wearing socks. I just thought that was really cool. William Gibson has, in those three books, what are they called? Virtual Light, Idoru, and All Tomorrow's Parties. A definite skill for, like, mundane details and making them strangely interesting. But I think a lot of that is because it's set in the future. Not too far in the future. I don't know, 20 years? And I don't know, it's neat even just to see the things that he already identified. Because Virtual Light was like 94, so I think. And there's shit in there that happened, you know? And it's like, cool, he saw that coming. But then I started reading Pattern Recognition. It was the first one of his books that was not set in the future. It was just set in the present. And he has that same weird fetishistic level of detail with just seemingly mundane things. Except when it's set in the present day, they really are mundane. I don't know, I couldn't get into it. It's really cool when it's a future setting, so he's painting this picture of all these little details of day-to-day life to come. But if he's just explaining life now, who fucking gives a shit? It's actually the opposite of my writing philosophy, which is don't explain anything if it's in the modern day. You don't need to tell people what the fucking school looks like. You don't need to tell people even what the people look like, or the clothes they wear, or the fashions. Everyone knows. It's already in their head. Don't waste your time with that shit. Played this song twice, I think, but I'm gonna play it a third time. This might be a record for Ham Radio for the single song played the most times. It is such a fucking retarded good song. This is Swing Set Chain by Loquat. I really gotta look up this band just in case they got something else. I gotta thank my friend Brad for introducing me to this song. But man, I just really, I don't know, I feel like this is like kind of the Ian and Keith fucking song. This just really seems fitting for that relationship. We're freaking out because we're... How does it go? Things are breaking down before they really picked up speed. You know, my little angry drug rant there. I mean, that's kind of... That's basically why me and Ian aren't friendly anymore. Because... last time she called me. I gave her a lot of that shit. But I don't know, it's like I definitely have a... It's easy for me to lose my temper, too easy. I wish I had a better grasp on that. I mean, me and Ian are almost like stereotypically male and female, in that when I'm feeling hurt by something, I get angry. That's how I block it off. That's... Because then I don't feel anything else, you know? I just feel mad about stuff, and I don't have to feel all these other uncomfortable emotions. And at least being angry has a veneer of strength to it. And Ian had the getting sad and upset reaction. And it always just made it hard to talk to her. Made it feel like I couldn't be myself. Like I couldn't say what I thought about stuff because it would just make her upset. So she called me up and, I mean, it started off. She was upset because I played the Caribou song Hello Hammerheads, and that's her song. That's her song to play about me, not my song to play about her. And I was like, will you fucking relax? First off, you didn't write that goddamn song. And I fully acknowledged that I only know that song because of you, that you introduced me to that song. It's a goddamn song. Like, come on, that is fucking retarded. Bad way to start a conversation. And from there, it was just a lot of criticisms, and I mean, nobody wants to hear that shit. It's not fun to hear. It's not even good to hear. You know, like I said, that's not the way to get in with anybody. You know, nobody becomes good by being told that they're bad. I really think that's true. But all I did was kind of tell her that she was bad for 2 hours. But I mean, I talked to her for almost 2 hours. Like, the time on my phone was like an hour 45 before I ran out of money because I have a prepaid phone. Man, it's like these fucking people are just fucking with me deliberately. I'm all the way at the end of this goddamn platform just to get away from people. And then these fucking douches come walk right over to where I am. How come? Fuck you. Fuck you. Leave me alone. Fuck you, New York. Leave me alone. I want to be by myself sometimes. I don't want to always be surrounded by fucking people. 3 more weeks or so. So anyway, the point is, I talked to Ian as long as she wanted to talk, until my prepaid phone ran out of money, in fact. And then when I tried to call her, 2-3 weeks later, she fucking hung up on me. It's not very cool. Holy shit, I recognize this station. What is this one called? 46th Street, Bliss Street. I just got off the train on purpose just to talk for a minute because I can't talk on the train. And I remember this. This was after Derby. After Keaton the Girl TV episode, Derby. That was kind of like my first date with Ian. I invited her along. And, nice, the train's here. Everyone's getting on. I will be alone for, like, a whole minute. It's gonna be fucking sweet. But yeah, after we went to Derby and hung out all day, then we went and got Vietnamese food at this place by Canal Street that we ended up going to a lot of times. But I remember she called me on the way home when I was home, going home on the 7. So I got off the train so I could talk. And I recognized this, the underpass here where this parking garage is. God damn it, already a new fucking person. Fuck you, I wanna kill you all. I wanna fucking bash your heads in. Leave me the fuck alone. Fucking, Look, he's walking right over to where I am. We're the only two people on this whole fucking platform. I should fucking push you onto the tracks. I should fucking put you on the third rail and get your 600 volts. Leave me alone. Fuck off. Look, there's another guy. Why? Why do people clump together? Go away. Ugh, fuck. Fuck. Anyway, Swing Set Chain by Loquat. This is a good song.
There's a playground that we used to run on. The penny you dropped.
Listening to that song and thinking back to those early days when Ian and I were still good for each other and weren't just hurting each other made me feel very, very sad. And I don't know if I had to pick a poetic, girlish way to explain my transient lifestyle that sounds cool in a song but sounds like poetry faggotry when you just say it. I could do a lot worse than that song. You're a dandelion seed that floats through the years and lands randomly and disappears. I think I must feel so bad because, I don't know, because I realized how I did the wrong thing last time I talked to Ian. Or maybe just the wrong thing a lot of times when I talk to Ian. I would like to see her again before I go back home. Seems like something I would regret if I didn't, but I just don't know how. I don't even know how to talk to her. It's probably just gonna make both of us hurt worse. So, I mean, if I really insisted, if I really lobbied, I'm sure I could get her to agree to go back to the Vietnamese place for one last fucking beef noodle soup or something. But I don't know. Maybe it would just make us both feel worse. Maybe I should just fucking disappear. Let me try to get on a slightly different track. Another thing that that Loquat song reminds me of is because I'm listening to the same MP3 player with the frozen one. It's got a bunch of songs on it that I can't get off, so it's stuck. So I was also listening to this on the last day.
Ladies and gentlemen, your safety is important to us. Please stand away from the platform edge, especially when trains enter and leave the station. The time is 2 o'clock. Thank you for riding with MTA New York City Transit.
I was listening to this on the last day of the Keith and the Girl cruise. And that was just a really cool day. I was up real early and watched the boat dock in Miami and listened to that Loquat song. And then the song that comes right after it on this MP3 player is I Hate Milk by Air Miami, and it's fucking cool. Let's listen to that. Sure, that was a fairly typical little trip down emotion lane. Get mad about something, followed by, once the anger sort of dissipates, you're left with whatever the underlying feeling was, which in this case was sadness and regret. So then I decided to go listen to some sort of aggressive music to help me level back out again. In this case, it was some Anthrax. So I played Anthrax 2 shows ago. Something from the Sound of White Noise. And I remember at the time, the album they put out after that, Stomp 442, didn't really seem that good. Sound of White Noise was fairly complex and, you know, felt like they put some work into it. Stomp 442 just felt sort of rushed and quick. I fucking hate this Times Square station. I swear to God, I never know how to get the fuck out of here. I end up like fucking came to see that Star Wars animated movie with Spooky once. I ended up like fucking 3 blocks away because couldn't get the fuck out of here and above ground. Anyway, Stomp 442. Hey, look at that. I'm above ground. Hooray. Didn't seem so great at the time. Actually, me and my friend Terry were just talking about this the other day, through the magic of email. But years later, I went back and checked it out again, and I ended up actually really liking it. It is a really simple, straightforward, uncomplicated album. But in a way, that's kind of cool. In a way, that album, except for the last song, which is this weird departure, but it's like, it's like the thrash metal equivalent of just fucking banging your head against a wall. And right now, that felt good. Just listen to that on the train. So I'm going to play a song from that. This is called King Size. My new plan, by the way. my backup plan, since it's already 2:15, if I did go to that museum, I would have just hopped right in and hopped right out. So I'll have to try again at a later date. Because also, the fucking museum's only open Tuesday through Friday. Today is Friday. So it'll be a few days. I'm trying, New York, alright? I'm trying. I'm trying to get out of the house and go see your fucking stupid shit. It's fucking impossible. I'm making the effort here. Anyway, I'm gonna go see a movie instead. There's this TV show called The Whitest Boys You Know. Or is it The Whitest Kids? The Whitest Kids You Know. That I really like. Remember when I first moved here, that was one of me and Relic's first little bonding experiences. I was like, hey, you ever heard of this show? Let's watch it. And then he was like, well, hey, that's fucking funny. Have you ever heard of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia? Let's watch that. And honestly, of the comedy battle, he probably won that one. I think It's Always Sunny is a better show. But The Whitest Kids is still a very good show. And a movie just came out that two of them, the two main dudes are in, called Miss March. And I'm not going to lie to you, the trailers look bad. They look real bad. But I really like these two guys, and they wrote it. So, I mean, hopefully it's just a shitty trailer. That happens. So, cross your fingers. Here's some Anthrax, King Size.
Yeah!
time before that movie starts, so let's play one more song. Because since I'm recording into a video camera, even though I'm just using it for audio, I won't be able to pull this bad boy out when I'm in a movie theater. It's extremely suspicious. I mean, as if I would bootleg a movie on this crappy camera, but I mean, I guess. It's not like those bootlegs look good. And I'm sure that they're not, you know, they're not interested in my podcast, you know. It's pretty much, it's the unspoken rule. Or maybe spoken. But if you got a camera, you keep that shit in your pocket. Don't take it out, because it's going to be misunderstood. Oh, I Love You Man is playing too. I can't say it looks like super great, but I really like those two guys. Paul Rudd and... Damn, what's that guy's name? From Freaks and Geeks. The tall guy. Siegel. Someone Siegel. Jason Siegel. But Miss March it is, because even though it honestly looks like a worse movie, I really like those guys. Those whitest kids. Alright, I'm going to play another Pepper song. I only heard this song this morning when I downloaded this album. I just downloaded it to get back home, but I'm going to quick listen through. I was like, hey, that song seems kind of neat. Let me toss it on my MP3 player. And then I've listened to it another two or three times throughout the day, and I like it. It's back to a nice chill vibe. Now that I have leveled myself out and I'm no longer feeling unduly angry or sad, I'm just feeling myself-ish. I'm feeling myself-ish. That's not so bad. So let's listen to a nice chill tune from the Boys in Pepper. Right here at Times Square, New York City. Baby.
Things that you just don't know. It's been 7 weeks. 7 weeks, oh, 7 weeks since I called you. When I try now, I just can't get through. And so far, the drinks are still so strong. Now there's writing on the postcards. Baby, 7 weeks is just too long.
We're just dumb firemen trying to do our jobs.
Things first. Gotta get rid of these outfits and get poolside.
What? It's a great kid that you're after. What if the firemen see you?
I can't work like this. Firemen never get laid. Everyone knows that. People hate firemen.
What are you gonna do?
I'm gonna go mingle. There's three girls for every guy at this party.
Okay, fine. Just do me a favor and keep your eyes peeled for Cindy, all right?
Okay. Good one.
Now, I've known quite a few women in my life, and I've had a phenomenal sex life. But I trade it all in for just one more afternoon with this young 18-year-old girl from Milford, Kentucky.
Holy balls, that movie was fucking terrible. There's no nice way to say it. That movie was just shit. Man, that is so weird. I mean, those two guys are always really funny, and their show is really funny. This movie, like, holy fuck. You really think you should be stepping it up for your feature film debut? They stepped it way down. That was the most generic, boring bullshit, man. That movie was fucking awful. Like, usually even movies that are that bad, you'll get, like, two or three, like, really good, solid, hilarious moments. None. I mean, I laughed a couple times, but holy fuck. It's this whole thing where it's like a road trip across the country to get to the Playboy Mansion. And I remember this movie that came out ages ago. It was called Fast Lane to Malibu. It was just, I think it was a Playboy production, but it was like just an excuse to make like this bullshit movie that has hot playmates in it and softcore tits and stuff. And it was honestly way, way better. Way better than this. I mean, it was way better. And it was just this bullshit movie they threw together just to show titties. This movie, you let me down, boys. What the fuck? I don't know. What explanation is there for this? Unless it's like some kind of, I don't know, like the studio just wants to soften things up and they went with it. I don't know. I just can't believe these two guys that make a movie this lame. It's like they wrote this fucking movie in like a weekend. Weird. It's like the Mr. Show movie. That's a perfect example of a totally, totally amazing show. Like, Mr. Show is like, it's up there. It's in the upper echelon of awesome sketch comedy shows. And then their movie, Run Ronnie Run, was just shit. Just god awful. Easily as shitty as Miss March. Like, just worthless. They claimed it was because they didn't get to edit it. You know, they lost control of the editing process, but I don't see how that piece of junk could have possibly been edited into anything, ever. Hey, this is cool. Another random spot I happened to walk to by accident. I'm at the place where, when I first got to New York, the first Keith and the Girl TV we did, number 6, I think. It's just about everybody ice skating. I am back there. Cool. Blast from the past, over a year ago. Anyway, thumbs down to that movie. Boo. Boo earns bullshit. Karen picked that up. Just got a couple angry, angry New Yorkers fighting and yelling about what? Who knows? Let's play some fight music while I look for somewhere to eat. Something to fucking battle with. Blah.
I believe it must burn. I believe a flame of death. find his own destiny.
In my neighborhood, it's that subtle, the subtle signifier would be the airplanes that are so low that I could jump up and grab one and fly to LaGuardia. I could do that. I just don't want to, but I could. So why don't you fuck yourself, you fucking naysayers. Oh, Keith can't throw a fucking grapple hook onto the airplane. Alright, that was a Soulfly song. I like that song a lot. For this book that I'm working on, for the big climactic final battle. A climactic final battle, we'll say. That's the song in my head. Like, if there was a movie of this and I was in charge and I had an unlimited music budget and it didn't matter what record label anything was on, I would pick that song. I know how I would edit it in my head and everything. That's why it amazes me that people win the lottery and never do anything with it. I got a whole, like, movies edited, pre-edited in my brain. You know, maybe I couldn't make the fanciest movie, because I'm sure, how does it work when you win the lottery? It's like, they feed it to you every month or something. You don't get a big, you know, here's $13 million, but you get money. You could do stuff with that. You fucking lamos. But I guess that's the point, is that I also don't buy lottery tickets. If you got the mindset to buy lottery tickets, you don't have the mindset to make a movie. And if I really wanted to make a movie bad enough, people make movies all the time and they don't have to win the Christen lottery. I could do this cocksucking shit if I really wanted to bad enough. Maybe someday. Maybe someday. Anyway, that's the song that would play during their big fucking battle, and it would rule, because that song rules. Did you hear that shit? That ruled. That fucking rocked, and it ruled. It was some fucking rock-a-doodle-doo. Rocking in the morning. Rocking in the evening. Rocking in all five boroughs. Rocking in Jersey. It just fucking rocked, man. Rocked in Brazil, I think is where they're from. I don't even know why you're questioning the rocking. It's clearly right there in your fucking face. Rocking in your fucking face. So I'm gonna finish off with one last song. One thing I had in my playlist today that I decided not to play. You might know this band, Finger 11. They got a little bit famous a few years ago for this terrible fucking song. What the fuck was that song even called? The One Thing or something? It was this slow, sappy, piece of shit song. Piece of shit. Piece of crap, as Neil Young would say. Made them a bunch of money and fans by fucking idiot morons who suck balls and can go fuck themselves because that song sucked dick. It had so many dicks in its mouth. I don't know how you could even understand the words to that song. It sucked so bad. But before then, that band didn't suck so much. And before they were Finger 11 and they fucking took themselves all serious, they were called the Rainbow Butt Monkeys. Something few Americans know, but most Canadians do. And they were a little less hardcore back then. Not that they're particularly hardcore now, but like they're more metal now, except for that stupid fucking shit song. But the Rainbow Butt Monkeys album was way more like funky. Sort of a funk band. But still kind of serious, but cool, but funny, but weird. But anyway, they changed their name to Finger 11. And as Finger 11, they have this song called Above that is fucking awesome. It's a simple idea. Basically, it's the quiet verses and the loud chorus made famous by the early 90s alternative grunge movement and the Pixies et al. Before that. Except this flips it around. This one has loud verses and quiet chorus. Until the end when it's time to rock your fucking socks off and then it has the loud chorus and you're like, whoa! Where the fuck did that come from, man? I was just putting my socks on, flew right off my fucking feet because of that shit. I didn't expect that. I didn't see that coming. I wasn't even ready for rocking. And when you're not ready for rocking, that's when you get rocked the hardest. That's how rock fucking works. So it's also a pretty simple message, but very cool. We as a people, as a race, as the human race, we are strong, but we are dumb. We look above for the answers when there is nothing there. So, it's going to be some Finger 11 with Above. Really good song. But before I play that, I want to play a little clip from Underscore Radio. Adam just did a solo episode. By just, I mean weeks ago, but I finally finished listening to it. I really love all these other podcasts everyone does, but I am behind on them. Because there's a lot. Brian Ward's been doing a ton. Gabe from Newfoundland's been doing a ton. Everybody's doing quite a few. They all add up. So, yeah, I'm not totally up to date, but I'm catching up. And I really love that these shows are around. If for nothing else, and just that I get more ham radio type shows to listen to, because I love this shit. And I can only listen back to my own stupid voice so many times before I have to stick a goddamn bowling pin up my asshole and then hide amongst the other bowling pins and take bowling balls to my nuts. Because that's what's going to happen if you hide at the end of a bowling alley. People are going to bowl into you. I think maybe I need a little nap. I feel like my brain isn't working. It's like I've been drinking, but I haven't. I'm just losing my mind. That's all. Isn't that cute, though? Oh, I'm crazy. I'm so crazy. I do crazy things. Shut up. No, you don't. Fuck you. Like when people talk about what assholes they are. Oh, you know me, I'm just an asshole. Probably you're a pussy faggot. You're probably not an asshole. You're probably a stupid douche. This should be some kind of podcast award category. I don't know. Random stupid nonsense bullshit. Or best ham radio. That should be a fucking category. Best episode of my fucking podcast. What the hell was I talking about? Bowling? What? Oh yeah, right. So Adam did a show by himself, and he's got this part right at the end of the show where he tries to describe the zen-like practice he has of sometimes sitting in the middle of a street and feeling a oneness with the earth or what have you. But it gets interrupted because a car comes down the street. It's fucking great. I liked it a lot. So we are gonna hear the Tao of Adam, and then finger 11 above. I know when I look above, I see airplanes. So low. There is a baby seat. What the hell? There is like a car seat for a baby in a tree. New York, you're ridiculous.
Did you notice then that I was talking for a solid minute, right? No cars passed. What I love to do, well, I've done it a couple of times before, is what I do is I go out at like midnight, right? Go out at midnight, and like, there are zero cars on the street. That's pretty cool, you know? You know, it's a road and there's no cars on it. In fact, I'm gonna do it right now. In fact, I won't because there's a car coming. Fuck it. Oh, here we go. No cars. Right. So what I do, I sit down in the middle of the road and I stare down this big long straight. You know. It's kind of a warm feeling from the bitumen. Probably can't feel that, but it just makes me feel calm and centered, you know. Knowing that all the things that these roads are purpose for, the loud, noisy machines that we hear, that they're... Okay, fuck it. Because there's a car coming right into my... right into my airspace. Here we go. Big fucking car. Here we go. Pass. No. No, you're not doing a speed limit. Why the fuck would you? Yeah, you pass, you faggot. Okay. Sometimes I just sit down on the road, you know, it makes me feel calm.